Grey's Anatomy is back, and we are a full house tonight, so catch our show in a minute.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. Grey's Anatomy, AfterBuzz, After Show. I'm back. I'm excited to be back, and this was such an emotional episode to come back on. I'm Kelly, and we are a full house tonight, and we have a very special guest with us. It's going to be there's lots of emotion. We don't have tissues. I blame Timothy for that.
Yeah. Blame me for everything.
Yeah, what were we thinking? Not to bring tissues. We knew it was coming. I mean, at least I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Kelly, where can I find you?
You guys can find me on social media at Kelly with an IE079. Make sure to get on chat and join the discussion with us. There's lots and lots of stuff to talk about tonight.
Definitely. And I'm Shannon Bobo. You can find me everywhere, and I will follow you back at Shannon Bobo.
Hey guys, I'm Timothy Michael. You can follow me on all social media platforms at I am Timothy Mike.
And I'm Lanisha. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Lanisha_33.
And I'm Karina Vargas. You guys can find me everywhere on Twitter and Instagram at KarinaXVRGS. This is just such a sad episode to come on.
It was really sad.
So, guys, anybody who's tuning in right now, Karina is our special guest. Yeah. Welcome to our panel, Karina. Thank excited to have you, especially on this episode, you guys, because I feel like we needed another voice.
Yes,
especially another huge Grace fan.
Yeah. So, thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm. Karina's going to be, you know, helping us out and filling in with us whenever one of us is gone. So, consider her the
part of our sixth panel.
She's our panel.
Part of our Grace family.
Yes, it's our Grace family for sure. Welcome, Karina.
All right, so as you guys know, I'm sure this episode was actually directed by Ellen Pompeo as well, which was a nice change to kind of the flow of the show. And the show opens with Meredith talking about her mom and, you know, dealing with Alzheimer's and having, you know, going through her stuff. And I think that's kind of one of the hardest things is having to sit there and, you know, go through the things and the things that you find. And she finds this note from her mom that's not finished. And how frustrating is that?
Yeah.
Like this important, like, life lesson. And it just, it's half written.
Especially with their relationship.
Yeah.
The fact that your mother might have left something sentimental to say to you.
Right. Yeah.
But it wasn't finished.
That could have possibly changed your life. If you know what the answers are, like it's like what are you trying to tell me? Like what is it?
I love in general when Meredith talks about her mom because I feel like Ellis Gray had such a pivotal part in this show, and she had a very detrimental part in Meredith becoming who she is now. So anytime they talk about her and her illness being Alzheimer's, it just touches my heart every single time. And I'm glad that they did that, especially for this episode.
Yes, my heart feels so heavy. How are you guys feeling?
It's
just I feel like our energy is so sad. I'm sorry,
you guys.
It was just one of those episodes, you guys.
Because it would feel weird or out of place to pick it up because it's.
Yeah,
it was just so deep.
Because you can't be all happy or anything because it was such.
It was very real. It was very real.
Yeah, I mean, and it's anyone that's had to deal with cancer in your family or, you know, someone that you love or know or anything. And, you know, recently and when I was away the last couple of weeks, I had my cousin was diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
No.
And by the time she found it, it was already at stage 4. So it was really bad. But luckily, she like had some treatment. She just had surgery and she is now cancer-free, which is great.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's really good to hear.
But there's so many, you know, families and people that go through this and it's, you know, it's very important to do those tests, go to the doctor, you know, do all that, which was great in this episode that they talk about that and give you advice on where to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's those things that aren't easy to detect and people get busy and you don't want to go to the doctor, but it's like...
That's the time you make for.
Yeah.
You make time for. Yeah. And you, I mean, like, no matter what the money is, like, you can't put a price tag on your health.
Right. And it's once a year. You have nothing. Like, it's once a year. Just go once a year, just for an annual checkup.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's as easy as that, and you can catch it that early.
And I really felt for Maggie this episode, of course. I think we all felt for her. And it's especially being such a smart, intelligent, amazing surgeon and not being able to help your mother. And then, like, feeling some sort of resentment of the fact that she didn't know.
And especially the way she was treating her before, thinking she was just getting a boob job, which is, and it's one of those lessons, and my mom tells me this all the time, is like, you know, be careful how you treat people because you never know, you know, and that, you know, when you're teasing someone, you know, don't try to take yourself out and not be so selfish when you're upset about something. They really try to communicate and talk things out because it's like all those, you know, months. her mom was sick for months that she didn't know. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be so hard on her.
How did you guys feel about the time lapse that they did with Diane being sick and it going so fast? Like, do you think they did that because the type of cancer that she had was so aggressive and it was so fast that they wanted us to feel like it's going too fast?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the trial, too, they said was pretty aggressive,
I think they wanted to make the point of the trial that it was actually making her feel worse than just the cancer itself. So I think that that's why they were doing it so fast.
So it's almost like it almost felt like Maggie, she didn't mean to, of course, but she was torturing her mom, you know, like physically torturing her. Of course she didn't mean to, and of course all she wanted to do was help her mother,
right? But I think Diane was okay with it. I think she made peace with it, even if it did, because like she said, she wanted Maggie to feel like she did everything that she could do to help her mother. And like I wrote, like, that was a mother always protecting her child. Like, you are getting emotional. Yeah. You know, your life is about to end, but you're still thinking about your daughter's well-being, you know? So.
And I love the fact that they were able to have the experience of her feeling better for at least that moment.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't, it was very... Matthew, he just said, talk about the contrast between Ellis Gray and Diane and how different her childhood, how different Maggie might be if she didn't have, I don't know. Like, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
But it's to your point, like, always wanting to protect the child. Meredith never really saw that, or at least it wasn't interpreted that way with the parenting style that her mom had. She was so focused on, you know, being a surgeon and all of that, hence the reason why her ashes got...
So Matthew, you're making a good point about it. It's like a stark contrast between the mother, the different mothering styles.
Yeah, and just to be clear, the ceremony that they had for Ellis Gray and then dumping it was at the time, like looking back on it, especially with this with a deep emotional episode with like a mom and a daughter being so close, like that was, I felt, a very good way to honor Ellis Gray in that moment, and I feel like Ellis Gray would look back on that and be happy about how they treated her.
Like she said,
her.
It was her favorite OR.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was more like what was the forefront of her life and her thing. Whereas it seems the relationship with Diane and Maggie, it was more all about Maggie. She felt like Maggie was a gift, the way she talked about her and all those nice things that she said about her. And she said, I have to let her know that she did all that she could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we should all be so lucky to have a mother like Diane. Mm-hmm. Just her, she was a real mom, like just so sweet, the way, like storybook mom. And then Maggie was the storybook daughter. They both found each other, like, through the mess of Ellis and Richard. Like, well, if we want to call it a mess, it turned out beauty. Yeah. Because of parents, childless parents, they were able to raise a beautiful... But it seems like Maggie's soul is sweet. Like, she wanted to be here. Like, just her nature, like, just the way Diane described her.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
She was the light of my life, like, basically. You know, I'm like...
I think just focusing on you know, Maggie coming into Diane's life as a baby and them touching up on that a little bit, I think that was one of my only criticisms for this episode, was that Emma had brought it up earlier with the time lapse going so fast of Diane's cancer, that I thought that bringing in her mom and her mom being sick would give us more of a backstory to Maggie, and I just felt like it went so fast that we didn't really get everything that we could get from her mom in those moments.
Well, let's stay in the possibility of the dad showing up. I forgot the name of the actor, but I know he's Tina Knowles' husband.
Yeah,
that's all I know. Mr. Lawson. But that was, I mean, so maybe we'll get a little bit more. We still have the dad, like in the relationship with the dad. So I would like to know more backstory about Diane.
And I kind of want to get into that relationship or that interaction with Weber and Maggie's, you know, adoptive dad.
Yes.
Because
that was powerful.
Yes. And with very little words, but you could feel part tension, I think, a little bit just from Richard, a little, just having to know that he kind of has to step back in this moment. Like, yes, this is my daughter, but I wasn't there and I didn't raise her, and this is her father. I'm her dad, but this is her father.
Right. I looked at it as like showing gratitude to him, too. Like, no, that helicopter, don't even think about paying it back. I got that.
But then the room, like, when he left out, I still feel like there was this, he kind of felt like the outsider. Mm-hmm. But like I said, again, he respected that and knew that he kind of just had to step back and let them have their moment.
I love that he did that.
The same way. I felt like, and I didn't think that Maggie let him live that down either when, you know, when they had that moment Richard in the hallway and and she was like, I want my dad to be here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Richard in his mind was like, I am your dad, but not, you weren't.
No, you're the donor. Like, you're the sperm donor.
Like,
you
know, she,
not so much now.
But. And also, too, when he was talking to Diane and he was telling her, you know, she is strong and I don't know her as a child. I only know the woman that you raised, and this is what I can tell you about her.
Yeah.
I felt too like that was also paying owed respect to them as parents, mm-hmm. that this is what you guys did.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I had nothing to do with this, mm-hmm. and I fully am aware of that. But let me just, you know, from this point, let you know what I see from right. all from mm-hmm. all the love and care that you guys gave her mm-hmm. when she was growing up.
Right. And Raquel mentioned that it's Richard Lawson. Thank you so much for that, yes. Raquel, by the way. I couldn't think mm-hmm. of the name of the actor.
I thought it was Richard, but then another character came to mind. So I was like,
no, he's Mrs. Knowles now. Yeah. Mr. Knowles
is terrible. And Matthew Nicholson says, did anyone else think that it took too long for Mia to show up for a montage moment? I don't think so.
I think it was perfect.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they are kind of, they are sisters in a way, mm-hmm. even though they're not, except for Meredith and Maggie, Amelia's not blood related, but they become sisters. Mm-hmm. Oh, they, yeah. Their yeah. dynamic oh, yeah. is like perfect. Yeah. And I feel like the way she showed up was perfect in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think something, timing. Sometimes like everybody's relationship is different. And I feel like they react to how their relationship is. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like they may not be there all the time and then their doctors, or they may not really talk about things, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to be here for you. You know, I may not poke you. How are you feeling? Are you yeah. okay? Mm-hmm. Let me give you a hug. I'm just going to be here.
Right.
For and example, who was invited to the lasagna dinner? I was kind of surprised at who wasn't invited, you know, mm-hmm. to be honest. I guess it made a little bit sense. Okay, let's recollect. It was Arizona, Jackson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 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 And so obviously Meredith and mm-hmm. who else?
Weber,
but
Weber.
But do you think the appropriate people were there?
I do.
Like, she considers clothes?
I do.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't really look into it that deep.
Yeah, I was surprised that Bailey wasn't there, to be honest. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't think that Bailey should have been there. I don't think
that she and Maggie are really like that yeah. close yeah. for that. I didn't okay. feel like, and that's yeah. why I didn't feel like her.
Well, she
and April
was
like
taking care of her. Yeah. Yeah. Well, April, okay. I could see not being invited, yeah. but her mom, her Bailey was a part of the responsibility of her care.
Yeah, she was.
But then I guess some of the doctors yeah. needed to be at the hospital too.
True.
But like her mom, she was like, invite your friends. So I think it was just like invite, not necessarily. Leo, people that were helping you, but the yeah. ones you are close to, okay. the ones you may talk to the most. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I feel like the only person who would have surprised me at that table was Arizona. Yeah, I didn't mm-hmm. feel like Arizona had any kind of connection.
That's what I was like. Why was Arizona invited, not Bailey? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maggie and Arizona don't really like talk that much, so yeah. I kind of was surprised.
I was surprised that Riggs wasn't invited. I was like,
oh yeah,
she's like. But he's the only one that helped her break down a little yeah. bit.
Well, that was after, though.
But
even before that, just remember, she felt close enough to him to want to break down, so I would think that she would consider him a friend. Anyway, that's not...
Yeah. I don't know. It's, yeah. It's interesting, though.
Yes, it is interesting.
About it that way, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm, yeah, the episode was definitely Maggie-centered, and everyone mm-hmm. else was mm-hmm. support. Yeah, definitely.
Let's mm-hmm. actually Thanks, take a few steps back really quick to the beginning of the episode when we... clearly see this feud emerging between Maggie and Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith obviously wanting to take more of like a lenient stance on the battle, and Maggie wanting to be more of a full force kind of doctor about it, and then obviously being relieved of her duties as surgeon to Diane. Mm-hmm. How did you guys feel about that?
All of it I honestly thought was pretty bad on the doctor's part. Because, I mean, there is a reason why doctors don't operate on their family mm-hmm. and they're not involved in that, which they did talk about a little bit. But even being so scared to voice an opinion to Maggie, I thought was wrong
yeah.
and was detrimental to what happened, you know, with her care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like it just, you know, she is a grown up. She's, you know, the head of her department and all of that. So it's just... I don't know. I feel like they were all too chicken.
Yeah, because when they told her she was she could qualify for the trial, but didn't want to back it up with, but I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
they kind of said that. They said it to each other, but
the
like,
only one
not
that was
her.
Brave enough yeah. to say it was Meredith.
And yeah. that was very wise of her to mm-hmm. do that. And I think it's very powerful that Meredith was able to step back, because if anything were to happen either way, at least her hands are free. You know what I mean? From the responsibility of
I don't
it.
Know. I disagree with you. I think it's more powerful that she stood up.
No, I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that I'm happy that that she did relieve Meredith of the responsibility. Not that Meredith should have that relieved
okay,
herself,
I understand.
But I'm yes,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That Maggie's like, mom, like,
I still that, from well, no, that Maggie's that Maggie no, I and Maggie's mom mm-hmm. relieved her from that responsibility
mm-hmm.
because then you know, so
because
it's not,
that way
for if, their relationship,
right. for their relationship,
yeah,
that's
so
what
that way if they're going back and forth, it's just like opinion or things like that. Since she was fired over her services, Meredith couldn't come in and maybe make a final decision, or maybe you know try to. Pull rank and
no,
say
no,
we're
I hear what you're saying.
This.
I just can't help but think if they had went and done it Meredith's way, that maybe Diane would have
had more time.
Yeah, or had more
exactly.
time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Karina?
Yeah, I think so too, because when Maggie was talking with Meredith and everything, like, I think from Maggie's perspective, she wants to do everything she can because it is her mother, but I feel like her, like they said, her cloudment, like, her judgment was clouded because
absolutely
it's her mom, and so as a surgeon, I feel like she wasn't clear-minded when it came to that, because it's her mom, and she wants to do everything she can to save her.
And I'm so grateful that Meredith did stand down and say, no, listen, you gotta... she went down fighting.
Towards the end, she's like, is this what your mother wants?
Lisa Payne Chirico, she said something kind of funny. Like, I love lightheartedness and during heavy situations, but she said, if I was a parent of one of the doctors, I wouldn't go there for a paper cut.
I mean, you know, it's that's funny her, that
thank you for making us laugh, Lisa.
I mean, because we addressed that, obviously, last
that was really funny, though,
with our predictions on if Maggie's mom was going to make it, and we were all like, well, this hospital doesn't have a good track record on doctors' parents. But that actually brings me to another point that I wanted to make about this episode, was that, you know, everybody, and I think that another reason why I thought Amelia came in at the proper moment was because all three of these sisters now have lost a parent. You know, Meredith lost her mom, Amelia lost her dad. And I feel like that only strengthens them as sisters. And I feel like that's why they introduced Amelia at the end of the episode when Maggie's mom was dying, because it just shows that they are going to come together and get stronger
absolutely.
From this.
And help her through this. Because she's definitely, even Meredith said, hey, I'm going to have to focus on my sister right now. I know she needs me. She
to Riggs.
So she had to tell that to Riggs. Like, that, it's all about timing. And they just, their timing isn't good at all.
And I'm kind of glad she did that, too, when talking to Riggs, because that shows, like, that's her family, you know? Like, I'll leave you aside for a little bit, and then when I'm ready, then...
Right.
You could start something.
And then also because how would Maggie react to that? She is already, you know, she's fragile right now.
Very fragile.
Why would I bring something else to her that can harm or hurt her?
Absolutely.
Know?
So especially that moment. The moment between Riggs and Maggie. Just let me know that out of all the people, she can be raw and real with him. And she was able to let her real, like, the first time, like, break down and really cry.
I think the only thing I didn't like about that was when he, like, went up to her and she was like, what are you... Like it was like this weird kind of, I don't want you to touch me, but I want you to touch me. It was like this weird, I don't know, maybe it was maybe like more of a character development where she was like, I don't want you to touch me because I know I'm going to break down, or it was just a little weird for me. Yeah. I thought that they would have more chemistry.
They don't have any chemistry.
They clearly do not have zero chemistry.
But
I took it as she just didn't want anyone to touch her. She didn't want any, she didn't want it to be real. And it's like the minute that you let yourself succumb to your emotions and it all just becomes real.
And I feel like it may have bonded them.
Yeah, but I think too, like, the reason why I feel like that she was able to do that with him was because he is so far removed and he's like a stranger. So it's easier to kind of just let it go. Because, I mean, and not to mean this bad or anything, but part of whatever he thinks doesn't even really matter.
I understand that psyche, but I feel like it's because she is like an attachment to him in a way, because she did have a pretty deep crush on him, and being able to let her emotions out with him.
Possibly a little bit of both.
Really?
Because even though when she walked out of her mom's room at one point and Weber was right there, the moment when she was like, I want my dad, before she was trying not to cry. You could see that it was one of those moments where I'm like, I'm trying to hold it in. You want to sit down? No, because you sit down, you relax, and you let it all out.
Right.
Like, I'm still trying to stay strong. And even for, like, they're building their relationship. She couldn't cry on, you know, Weber's shoulder, but she did with Riggs. So I kind of agree a little bit also with Kelly. Like, I think he's just a little further removed from it. That it was okay.
And then she was telling him thank you. And it's kind of like, thank you for just not trying to give me advice, not telling me anything.
Yeah, that's
true. Kind of just letting me do it.
I feel like it may have bonded them too, though. Because, like, when she looks at...
That's what I was fearful of.
That's what I'm fearful of. Yeah.
But now I think, you know... Because just like sometimes they'll say, like, you can have friends forever and they may not know certain things about you and you can meet a stranger and you just unleash your whole world.
Yeah.
But it's because they don't... They don't know you. You know, they're not that close.
Well, I unleash my emotions on everybody, so that's the reason why I was like, especially if it's a man that I like, I'm like, I'm going to let him know everything. So that's the reason my psyche went, that she felt comfortable enough to let him know. But, I mean, who knows? Who knows? What did you guys think of the amazing advice that her mom was giving her? And what was your favorite? I think you guys know my favorite.
We already know my favorite.
I think it was probably all of our favorites.
Yes. I don't know which one. That was a light moment there. I think my favorite advice that she gave her was to live a little. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Be a little slutty. Don't be put together all of the time.
Shake it up a little bit.
The one thing that resonated me with that in that speech was she said, nobody looks back and says, I wish I was a little bit more uptight. Yeah. That's right. The line that that's I love so the most. True. Because it's so true. Like, you just live your life. Right. Like, who cares what people think of you? Who cares what you, you know, what you say? Like, it's just your life, so just live it. Life is too short.
And like, I she told her when Maggie was like, well, most parents would appreciate that, the fact that Maggie was such a good kid. She's like, yeah, I did at the time, because you didn't give me any trouble, you know. But then now looking into see that that went kind of into your adulthood, it's like, have a story, have stories to tell, live a little, you know.
We're talking about our favorite quotes. I have to add mine. Orgasm is not a gift. It's your right.
It is your right.
She's like, I have mine every night. She's like, okay, mom, I don't need to hear it.
A little too much. And I think mine was, don't make yourself small for anyone.
Yes, that was really good advice.
Mm-hmm. And especially this being such a woman like driven episode. You know, I feel like sometimes when you're successful, and I think she was kind of feeling that a little bit when she was having her little fling with the intern and all that, is like, you know, when you let yourself be as great as you are, sometimes in a relationship, if you're not on equal playing ground, you might want to try to, you know, kind of shrink yourself a little bit to make the other person comfortable. And you know, that's such great advice. Don't ever do that. You don't have to do that. And I really like that.
And if you like, don't dim your light. Don't dim your light. Let their light shine. Right. Like, say, no, rise to my level. I'm not going to dim down to your level.
Exactly. Right.
And what I really liked about that scene, too, was that it was like her last moments with Maggie and her telling her all this advice. It's like, this is the last time you're going to hear this from your mom.
Yeah.
So it's like, you want to take in all the advice that you could get. Yeah. So I really liked that.
And I'm so grateful that Meredith was able to share with her, listen to what she says, just take it all in.
Memorize it all.
Another point that I wanted to make was that I loved how that whole scene correlated with the beginning of the episode and Meredith touching on her mom's note when she with this unfinished note, that there's like this onset advice that her mother was supposed to give her that she was never able to say. And I feel like with Maggie's mom, she wanted to say all of this advice while she could, and that's exactly what Meredith's mother was trying to do. I just love the similarities between that, but then at the same time, it's like, Maggie's mom didn't really get to tell her everything. She got up to close the window and she died. And it's like, she had more to say, but then you could look at it and go, you always have more to say.
It's never finished.
There's never enough time for anything. There's never enough. It's never
Kelly,
enough.
You're killing me right now. Yes. And
it was a very, very, very beautiful scene. And the actress who played Diane, she just everything in that scene. I haven't seen anything so beautifully played before in my recollection. I can't imagine. It was just so beautiful. Yeah. It was very beautiful.
I kind of felt like, okay, once Maggie got up to the window, I felt like that's what was going to happen. Yeah, I was like, okay, she's gone now. Yep. But even though you can predict that, the fact that they're still able to pull out that emotion in you, even though you know it's going to happen, that you can still react to it. Yeah. Especially once she realized she was gone and she's like, mom, and then went to mommy. That's when
we all cried. We were all sitting there. I'm not sure if you guys all were, but we were definitely crying.
We all cried.
And the fact that they also left her eyes open.
I was like, dang, girl.
I was like, no.
It was so
haunting. We have to give
it
to for that direction. Yeah. Like, I don't know if if it was Diane's choice or the actress. I don't know her name, but I don't know if it was her choice as an actor to do that or if it was Ellen, but it was so beautiful.
She did such a wonderful job.
But that's how sometimes people die. Episode.
Yeah.
It happens. I just didn't expect it to happen that fast.
But somebody was saying on a scroll that it the timeline made it sound like it happened over a few months.
No, I meant like her just dying. I understand people just dying in their sleep because they stop breathing, but she was up and talking, and I thought that she'd have maybe more of a struggle of a breath or maybe Maggie, something's wrong or something, literally just died.
I was
just really surprised. I mean, we kind of knew it was happening, but I still was surprised. It still got me.
Heavy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then was this the title of the episode, or was this just the hashtag for them, Tears of Grey?
No, it was the hashtag. Okay, it was just the hashtag. The
episode
was
"Be
Still My Soul."
Okay,
yeah. Yes, and it was. She was definitely still.
Yeah, but even though, even the hashtag that they were using, though, Tears of Gray, like that, really hit.
Yes.
Oh, Yeah. I kind of just want to veer off for a second, because we could talk about Diane all night. Because I mean, clearly this episode is about
her. Emmy award winning.
I don't know if she's going to win an Emmy. I really wish that she was around longer, and I think she would have. That's why one of my criticisms was this went so fast. That they could have dragged this out. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad they didn't, but I'm kind of glad they did. But I don't know. I'm all over the place with that. But I do want to kind of point out Weber and Bailey's like feud that they had in this episode, because I wasn't expecting them to touch up on that, because I thought this was going to be all about Diane. So when it started happening, these little jabs that Richard was taking at Bailey, I was like, oh, you're mad.
Yeah. There was this part where he was like, if I needed help, you'd be the last person I'd call.
Yeah.
And I was like,
They cleaned it up at the end, though, when they said, hey, let's not carry this with us, because we're gone, we're gone.
Yeah. I just wasn't expecting. I mean, we were expecting. I don't know. Were we expecting?
I mean, he was maybe still sparring.
Because I mean, it's a really big deal what she did, and
this moment, though, like while this is all going on,
I think just overall, I think like that just shows how big of an impact it had on him. That even in this moment, like, I don't want to come to you about it.
Yeah,
that it's still because they were so close, and because he felt. I mean, I think to him, she was more like a daughter, and so it's like such. A betrayal he feels, and that's hard.
It's
hard to let go of, no matter what the situation is. And if you're that hurt.
No, go ahead. And I think also, like, towards the end, how it connected, where he was saying to Bailey how, like, everything that he regretted not saying and stuff, so that's why I felt like that was a good moment for them to kind of come together and, like, make up.
Mm-hmm. Another piggybacking on that, though, when he was in that moment talking to Bailey, he also brings up Ellis, and I love when Weber also brings up Ellis, because she was a pretty pivotal point in his life as well.
Absolutely.
And he says she never forgave me, and obviously he's referring to when he didn't leave his wife for her. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he kind of never forgave himself either for that moment.
Absolutely.
Because it's... Was he supposed to be with her? Was he not supposed to be with her? I mean,
he was definitely not supposed to be having an affair. And so I think that it was a struggle for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that was always the issue. And I think it's more to your point that he didn't forgive himself.
Yeah.
And not that even if she had, I don't know if it really would have made that big a difference because he had to, it was a struggle within himself.
Right. And I feel like, especially with Maggie coming around now knowing that you have a daughter, that kind of could change how he felt about it. Also, like, that adds to it more. Now, maybe if he was trying to forgive himself, it's harder now, because could we have had a family?
Right. Yeah.
You know? If he had left his wife, like, he may just still think that, like, I could have had a family.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
so I
does.
Think that adds to it. Well,
he,
yeah, just
yeah,
but,
he does
but
now.
Throughout
yeah.
his, you know,
yeah.
raising daughters. Because he didn't raise any children, you know?
No,
she,
no.
So,
but he
kind of
did at the hospital.
Them.
All these rugrats running around.
But just not his own. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Carmen Williams made a good point. I'm not sure. She mentioned, well, first of all, LaTanya Richardson is the. Richardson Jackson is the lady who played Diane, and she did an amazing job. I would love, love, love to have her on a panel just to talk about that. Like, maybe flashbacks, I don't know. But
LaTanya, if you come on our show, girl, we might just hug you and cry.
Yes, we will. Yes, exactly. And then Jazz 4173 mentioned earlier, too, that it is possible for her to get nominated for an Emmy for a guest star role at the technical Emmys.
Yes, they do that. I don't know if... I loved her performance.
Definitely guest star role, though.
I just feel like it was so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like if they had dragged this out for, like I said, 4 or 5 more episodes, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't... And this is not any disrespect for her in the role. I just want to see more of you, LaTanya.
Yes, exactly.
I want to see more
of
this. I wanted it to feel more connected between her and Maggie, and I wanted her relationship with the doctors to develop more. I saw it a little bit with Meredith, and all of they had so much more that they could have done with her and Meredith, and her maybe filling in this more of this motherly role with Meredith, because that's never what she got. From her own mother. There was so much more stuff that could have done.
If, like, anything happened. Right? But I wonder if that's what they wanted. They wanted you to actually kind of want more.
Yeah.
And then just kind of...
No,
like
Kelly
said, that's the way life is.
Grace does that to you.
And that's what... I think it, like, shape-shift everybody back into order, too. Because, again, Bailey and Richards are now like, okay, let's squash this.
Yeah. Because even before she actually went in, she walked past at first, you know, because he said something hurtful to her. So she had to second guess, like, should I even Yeah. Forget it. You know what I mean? And then she went back and like, no, let me talk to him. Because they have such a strong relationship. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't just let this go.
Well, death does that to anybody, though. It always makes you reevaluate your priorities. You know what I mean? So it's, I could understand why Bailey would not walk by the room.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of lessons to be learned throughout this episode. It was a great episode all the way around. There's a lot of really good points that all the little side stories were making and all of that. The one thing that I hope it does for another storyline is with Amelia. I'm, like, really, like, the last few episodes, and I wish I had been here to be able to talk about them, but the last few episodes, like, her character still frustrates me so.
Oh, we know, Sam. We knew it, too. We were mentioning that. It's like, oh, Kelly's gonna be pissed.
So much. So I hope that this kind of, like, you know, just in, like, on a family dynamic, I mean, she has her own family. It's like, she needs to open up communication and figure some stuff out.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And just out of respect for the other person, if nothing else, you know what I mean? Like, it's
and on a side note, Kelly, because I'm dying, I was dying to notice about you last week. Uh-huh. But how did you feel when she told, this is the same way you treated Christina?
Oh.
Yes, I just think that we just needed to have
I just wanted, yeah, we just wanted to ask you.
We wanted really to quick. Ask
just
you
really quick.
So angry because, one, I hate that the storyline's the same. That really annoys me to pieces.
Yes.
But also, what a low blow. Yeah. I was like, bitch. That was not okay.
Sorry,
guys.
We're just
trying to.
That was a sidebar. So we had to ask her opinion of that.
Yes.
By the way, the helicopter would have cost a lot for that. Yes. That helicopter ride. Was
but
not
just imagine
cheap.
How much it costs to raise Maggie. So I think we're even. We're still not even. That's what the doctor. That's you what. That's what actually, her dad should have said.
Speaking of her dad, are we a little surprised that he didn't come on the scene sooner?
Well, they were going through trouble.
But they're still, not, like, he's still... That's still his wife. Wow. You know what I mean?
I honestly was thinking about that, too. Weird... I wondered, did they tell him?
That's another gray area.
We don't know. It's a separation. Yeah.
It is a gray area when it's a separation. But if a death is a death, is a death. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
But maybe, it took her a while to tell Maggie, so maybe...
Maybe she didn't
He didn't him. Know all the way.
Yeah. And it felt like it was the sickness took a really bit sharp turn, but it still felt like it was at least over a course of a couple of weeks or maybe even a month or so.
Yeah, I think it was a span of at least a month.
Yes, at least. But, I mean, like, that was plenty of time to let her dad know what she was going through. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, though. Like, I wonder why they would leave that part out. But it was powerful the way they had the helicopter bring him in.
Yeah. He had never...
Because he said, I need my... She's like, I need my daddy. And he's like, let me get her daddy. That's what it's like. He felt helpless. Okay. And that's the way... That's his way of saying, I love you. I'm like, I'm going to reestablish... He's establishing a relationship with Maggie.
Yeah. Right.
You know, even though he didn't raise her. He's who she has now.
Right. Yeah. And he's still trying to show that he can be
help
there for her.
Let me help you. Mm-hmm. You want your daddy. You're right. I'm not your daddy. I'm your dad, but I'm not your daddy.
And I'm actually glad that he actually came in. That way, like, now that her mom passed away, like, maybe he could be there for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we will also want to know more about Maggie, because that's what we were hoping that Diane would get us.
Yeah. Right. So maybe her dad could do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, there's a lot of questions, lots and lots of questions about that, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, because even divorced, I agree with you. Like, it's still weird that, especially when she decided to stop doing the treatment, then maybe that would have been the point where they may have told him.
Yeah.
Or maybe he chose not to come. Like, oh, now.
Well, my parents are divorced, and I don't see them coming to each other for each other. They like each other. No, but it's not that personal. But it's just kind of like, you know,
like,
I know that they would be.
Yeah.
I mean, well, like, they'll be there for us when the, you know, when or if, because we're all going to make our transition, guys. Yeah. Sorry. Everybody on this panel is going to be dead one day, including you guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry for the darkness. It was a dark episode, but this is just the truth. These are just facts. But, you know, you just support your children the best way you can, and we don't know what the conversations were, so maybe she was saying, no, you don't need to come. Like, it's just too heavy.
Right.
We're already dealing with this. I don't need to deal with you and her emotions over your divorce and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to deal with mom while she's sick. We don't know what the conversations were. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I'm just excited to see what Diane's death has...
The impact on
all of them in general, not just Maggie.
It always shakes things up whenever anybody dies in this way at the hospital. So we'll see if it changes, shifts things around a little bit.
Especially because she spent time with everybody. If you like, from the moment her character was introduced, like she was, I mean, even what she was saying about knowing the, you know, details about her chemo nurse, son that was taking the driving test. And she was just one of those people that really sat, looked you in the face, and wanted to know about you. So everyone had a little piece of that.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to, you know, definitely, you're going to feel it around the hospital.
Well, speaking of impact for Maggie in general, let's talk about that preview really quick, because there was a lot in that preview that I was like, A, Maggie's back really fast. You'd think that she would take some time off.
Well, I think maybe they did. It's just they might fast forward. Like, a couple weeks.
It's fast forwarding, you guys.
Well, Matthew said that a lot in Grey's. They've skipped
fast forward. Exactly. Well, Matthew Nicholson said something so funny earlier that I have to repeat it. Because I love humor throughout it. He's like, we said, how long would Diane's impact on it, her death impact? Mm-hmm. And he said, however long the lasagna lasts.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry, I just had to, Matthew, you guys, it's good
to
make
little
light.
Bites that they were taking, it might last a long time.
But that was very, thank you for adding some humor to this panel talk.
I actually want to shout out everybody in our panel.
Thank
in
you,
our,
panel.
In our YouTube chat right now, because YouTube you guys are giving us some, you guys are giving us life.
Yes, because we're just so sad and happy.
Because you guys are literally touching on a lot of points. Matthew Nicholson is on it tonight. He actually brought up, and just speaking of previews and the future of Grey's, had brought up Matthew Morrison, because you know that he's just announced that he's going to be is going to be on Grey's, and he asked who we thought he would play.
Well, Maggie's new boyfriend.
No, well, oh, that's a good one. From what I read,
Karina Reeves.
That it might be Joe's husband.
That's what they
I was shocked too. I was like, no.
Did you guys like that genuine reaction? Because that was genuine.
Mind blown.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so good. Karina, you're giving me life, girl.
Let's see where that
do
goes.
Do we like seeing Matthew Morrison as a bad guy?
I
maybe
know.
Good for him, right?
Because I do it. I remember him from Glee, and I'm like, oh, this is a different role compared to that.
But listen, maybe we'll understand a lot more about Joe. Maybe we'll get to understand his point of view. Sympathy? No.
Maybe not sympathy.
We don't blame the victim.
It's never okay. I get that, but like maybe I don't know. We don't know the whole story.
I'm so glad that you read that, because I'm so excited to see him. Yeah. I hope that's true.
Someone else said it too. So maybe.
Tanya
Murphy
so
said Joe's ex-husband too, so maybe.
Oh, Matthew Nicholson asked if he could Skype in next week. Definitely reach out to us on Twitter or in direct message us on Twitter or anything. Maybe we can make that happen.
Yes, absolutely.
We would love to have you guys. Mm-hmm. And if anything, we could have you in the chat, whatever. But that goes for everybody. If anybody wants to Skype in, just direct Instagram.
And side note, I do not support anybody beating on somebody else. That's not what I meant at all. I'm just making sure, because I would get torn in half because
but getting two sides of the story interesting for sure to see kind of what made her be the way she was and get so scared and like all of that, like what was happening then.
And what made him do that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like an old Chris Rock joke. He's like, I'm not saying I would have killed her, but I understand if I needed to choke her a little bit. It's just a little joke. It's like I'm not, you know, let's just hear his side of the story. And I think maybe that's bringing a little lightness, because we all know how light he was on Glee. Mm-hmm. Possibly. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Yeah. But it would be great to know more about Joe, she's been annoying. Step outside themselves. Think about the other person.
I could not wait until you got back so we could hear what you thought about Amelia.
Okay, we'll get more into it next week. Yes. This is all Diane love, but oh my gosh, Amelia, seriously. So over it.
Shall we go into predictions?
Yes, let's do it.
Yay, predictions.
Ooh. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Karina, let's start with you.
Ooh, okay, putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
Well, my prediction is that now that she has died, Diane, I kind of feel like, because there's so much like negativity or like kind of bickering between all the doctors, I feel like that's definitely going to bring them all together, and kind of like with the whole Minnick situation, I feel like that might kind of like lower down a bit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now that everybody knows about Arizona and Minnick, well, at least Bailey does, I feel like that might go public soon.
I wonder what the reception is going to be about that. Interesting.
But I'm hoping that maybe with this, like we said, like, so this can kind of bring everyone together. So I'm hoping that also includes Minnick, and maybe we will have some type of common ground that Minnick and Weber can now be on. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Maybe not by next week, but at least throughout the by the end of the season.
Yeah. I feel like Meredith, yes, she did call it off with Riggs, but I feel like they're going to do something. I don't want to say behind Maggie's back because it's there's really nothing that they have to hide.
Right.
But I feel like that connection is just, and that chemistry is too strong for them not to act on
it. Parking lot action.
And I feel like, yes, which was so hot, you guys. I just feel like they're going to start seeing each other. And I feel like maybe Maggie's not going to like that. And there's going to be a little bit of feud with Meredith.
Okay.
Well, let's see. I feel that Riggs and Meredith understand and they will acquiesce to the fact that it's just poor timing and poor taste to do anything about their feelings. They're adults. They know that the timing will be right. And in due time, I don't even think it'll take as long as we're assuming, but I think by the end of the season, they'll be able to like finally do it. But we do need to give, I feel like they'll understand that they do need to give Maggie a minute. And she's just going to focus on taking care of Maggie for now. And then I also believe that Maggie is going to, because we already saw it in the previews for next week, but she's going to completely get a little hard, no, not a little hardened, but hardened. We're going to see a different Maggie, and she's going to bury herself in her work, and it's almost like the juju blood or whatever we want to call it, the blood from her mother Ellis is coming streaming down, like just like like all of a sudden she's going to be like a serious, like not so sweet, not so innocent, like just I just need to work, and I just like she's hardened now because she was so sweet and innocent before, and I don't think we're going to see that sweetness for a while.
What do you think, Kelly?
Yeah, no, I think that that's definitely going to play a part in it, but I also think she might take all of her mom's advice, like, to the extreme, to the next level. I think we might see a little bit of sluttiness. We might be seeing...
That would be fun. You know,
that would be great.
She's going to go hardcore with every aspect of everything because it's just going to be an overload.
So that's interesting. I love that. But I think in the beginning, she's going to be like, wow. But she's like, but...
What if
she's... Because right now, she just needs to get over the death. Like, right now, you get... I don't know if you guys have been the five stages of mourning someone, but just like the things that we go through. Where it's like first you're like I can't believe it, and it's like, you know, anyway, so we'll see, but I like that.
I know, but what if she takes that like sluttiness and gets like all aggressive and the confidence to just go after Riggs?
Ooh.
What if that happens?
And that's gonna be a hot mess.
That's
Riggs,
that's a good one.
See,
it could.
Yeah,
it's possible. Wow.
Yes. I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. And welcome to our little Grey's family, Karina.
Yes,
welcome, Karina. Thanks so much. Please make sure to go to iTunes and YouTube and rate and comment. We love to hear what you guys have to say about the show. And you can follow me at Kelly with an IE079.
You can follow me at Shannon Bobo everywhere.
Hey, guys, you can follow me at I Am Timothy Mike on all social media platforms. And just a quick shout out really quick. If you or anybody you know is suffering from inflammatory breast cancer, they can go to cancer.org/IBC. There's a lot of resources there that they can get help with.
And I'm Lanisha. You guys can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Lanisha_33.
And you guys can follow me at KarinaXBRGS.
Thanks again, guys.
Bye.
Be happy.
Yes.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.